Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Tonight, we're going to listen to the word of the Lord. You know, I had a different message. I've had this other message on my heart for 10, 12 weeks. And every time I get in the pulpit area, God seems to change it. And I think it's a phenomenal message, but it's just not the timing for it tonight. Tonight, God spoke to me yesterday about a message, and it's called Understanding the Attack. And let me give you an illustration of why this title is described Understanding the Attack. You, listen to me, you, every person in this room will live a life as a Christian under attack from every direction, trying to stop you from what God says you are, trying to stop you from all that you could do and accomplish in life, trying to hinder you from anything whatsoever that you might desire to accomplish for you, your family, your life. He does everything he can to stop you from having the life that God paid for on that cross at Calvary. Did you know that Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly? He says, I have come to give you life, not just in heaven, more abundantly right here. And as you learn to apply the principles of the Word of God, all of a sudden life starts to change and take on purpose and meaning, starts to take on a direction that's from God. As you learn the Word of God, if you don't know the Word of God, nothing ever is going to happen. When you get into what the will of God is and you desire to have the will of God, you have got to have the Word of God. If you don't respect the Word of God, you'll never do the will of God. So we come into the house of God so that we can all define what the Word of God has to say and look at it for ourselves. God is so good. I was watching television. Those of you that think we're just so spiritual all the time that we don't do anything but on our knees fasting and praying, you can look at my belly and see that's not the way it is. And by the way, I just want to mention to you, I was watching television. And I was watching something I found absolutely fascinating. I could not get Deborah to watch it with me. She's much too spiritual. But I found it fascinating. It was World War II in color. And they took all the films and the stories, and they actually told the whole history of the whole conflict. And it was just fascinating to me how there was one point in this conflict over all these years of this battle going on, this attacks of all of mankind going on, that you would find that England had finally, from Poland, gotten a hold of a piece of equipment that could decipher the secret codes of the Nazi Germany. And it was just so fascinating. So, and if they did it the right way and used wisdom on how they used it, they could use it throughout the war to find out what the enemy was doing before the enemy ever does it. How cool is that, right? They had to use wisdom because they couldn't do it all the time, because if they did it all the time, then the enemy would obviously realize they've got these secret codes and we need to change the codes. And I thought it was just fascinating as I was looking at this attack of the enemy. And oftentimes, because the people in England understood what was happening and when it was happening and where it was happening, they could defend themselves better than ever before, and oftentimes even go win that particular battle, as long as it wasn't an awareness. And I thought to myself, how Christians don't understand the attacks that we're in all the time. And understanding the attacks that your life is all about helps you and me to go through the attack, coming out victorious on the other side, because we know the ploy, we know the strategy of the enemy. Is anybody listening? When I was a young preacher, maybe 38 years ago or so, Debbie and I had just been pastoring a couple of years, I was incredibly discouraged. I'm not often discouraged, but being a pastor and not knowing what I was doing 40 years ago, I found myself in a car with Deborah, and we were driving. In fact, we were driving down Highway 38. We pastored a church in Lake Arrowhead called Lake Arrowhead Christian Fellowship. It's just a small group, a couple hundred people. And I was discouraged. Discouraged, number one, who knows why? The church wasn't growing. Who knows? Maybe people were complaining and grumbling about all kinds of crazy stuff that people do. The people, you know, God says love the people, and sometimes you don't want to love the people. You really want to punch them in the nose. And, you know, I was going through that kind of a life and that kind of a relationship, and I just told Debbie, I'm so discouraged and so frustrated. I just want to stop this car and cry. In fact, Debbie, listen to these words. This is a true story. I just want to kill myself. And I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of a fit of depression where you just wanted to die. Debbie realized we were going down from the top of a mountain. There's a very steep bank there. And she said, maybe we ought to pull over to the side and talk about this, you know. And when she and I started to talk about it, she made a mention to me something that literally set me free for the rest of my life. She said these words, why do you think the devil would leave you alone? He didn't leave Jesus alone. He challenged Jesus in who he was. And he tried to destroy him over and over again. And do you even think for a moment that he's not going to try to destroy you from your future? I mean, he's destroying everything he can. He killed the babies in Nazareth. He killed all the children. He killed Moses' family off and all the firstborn in the times of Moses, always trying to stop the assignment of God. And if you're going to carry something in your life, you're going to be attacked. But here's the good news. When she said that to me, I went, wow, that's true. I can make this because Jesus was attacked and he was the Son of God. Of course, he's going to certainly attack me and try to stop me. And it changed my whole world. And here we are almost 40 years later. I'm still remembering that as if it was spoken to me yesterday. It had to be the voice of God coming through her that helped me so much. And as I was... as I was meditating this, for those of you that feel that you're always under attack and there doesn't seem to be any let up at all, like Pastor Jess on her vacation and finally getting a breath of fresh air just to have an accident, someone hitting him from behind. And she says, Dad, it's my new car. I just got this car maybe a month and a half ago, and she's just really frustrated about it. There's always something gonna try to disrupt your life and stop you from every area. But if, like England, could understand the attack, where it was coming from and how it was coming, it made all the difference in the battle. And most people that call themselves Christians don't understand anything at all. Don't understand how it's going to last and how long it's going to last and where it's coming from. Don't understand that it's a common thing to be under pressure from demonic forces that want to stop you from having any kind of a future. Most people that call themselves Christians just make a statement, I'm a Christian now, why should I have problems? Why doesn't God defend me so I don't have these problems? And that's pure immaturity if you look at Scripture. But God wants to take you past a level of immaturity to a place of maturity that you understand the attack so that the attack, when it comes, is not a surprise. Listen to me. And you know how to win. Keep doing what God would have you to do. And with that in mind, I study the Bible a certain way that I find fascinating. I'd just like to explain it to you, if I may. I like to look at the Word of God. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. I believe this is not a man writing it, but the Holy Spirit that wrote it through the inspiration through men. And it so unites together, giving us the great insight into the Word of God that gives us the plan and direction of God for our life, even in the area of it being under spiritual attack. If you've ever been under spiritual attack, it's a horrible thing. But may I say this to you, it's not over with. And you need to be mature enough not to let the spiritual attack take you off the path that God has to the greatness of your life that God has before you. And so many, more than you want to believe, are Christians that fail because they don't understand the attack or the character of the attacker himself. And tonight, here we go. We're going into the words of Jesus himself. We're going to study it together and look at it together. I hope you have a pen and pencil, because this is really going to make a difference in your future as to whether or not you're going to succeed or not succeed if you understand this. Most of you that are in here will hear what I'm going to say and like it. But in the next few days, you will forget about it and not understand it nor remember it, because you don't think about it any more than when you heard it. The sad part about that is, unless you hear something over and over again and make it part of your life, it'll never become your life. And it's just good information, and I thank the guy that brought the information. That was great. Church was wonderful. But I'll just keep doing my stuff, and when the devil knocks the snot out of your head, you will blame God and quit going to church and quit praying and quit believing God, because the pressure, the attack, become greater than your understanding of truth. And that's bottom line. Is anybody listening? Yes. Tonight I want to take you, if I may, to Luke, the 4th chapter, starting in verse number 1. There's 13 verses. I want to explain them to you. In these 13 verses is everything you need to know about your attacker. 13 verses that reveals the very heart of your attacker and the very strategies of your attacker. Yes, it's about Jesus, but is not Jesus our example? So it's more than just Jesus. It's not just written sort of story so you can understand about Jesus, and it is great to do that, but it's more than that. It's an application to the wisdom of God in your life when you need it. Understanding the attack. And Luke 4 chapter verse number 1 says this: Then Jesus, and I love this, we're talking about Jesus. Now I want you to hear this, because I can read this to you, but I'm going to read it to you and explain it as we go. Is that all right? That's the way I think about things. I read, I meditate, I think, I realize how much it's all connected together with different verses. And what he's saying here is also said in the New Testament for you and I in a different spot, which is really fascinating. Why? Because the Word of God is all connected, so that you and I can look into the very wisdom of God, the hidden mysteries of God, it describes itself. Hard to figure out and hard to find. But when you find them, figure them out and apply them in your life, listen to me. When you find them and figure them out and apply them in your life, one more time. When you find them and figure them out and apply them in your life, your life changes to the most amazing success. The world will fail around you, but you will keep on going. And man, if that entices you, you ought to listen closely and start making some notes. It says these words in verse number 1, then Jesus, and it tells us the state of Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit? I can. Here's my problem. I find myself oftentimes not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, some of us people believe that, you know, we asked for the Holy Spirit and someone laid hands on us and anointed us. We have our prayer language. Oh, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We use that expression. Can I tell you something? The filling of the Holy Spirit's very unique experience, because I can be filled for a moment and then go out and deal in the world from a fleshly standpoint or a visual standpoint or a knowledge standpoint and find myself being drained. And here's Jesus, he is filled with the Holy Spirit, returning from Jordan, he says, and was led by the Spirit. Notice the capital S in the word Spirit there. This is the Holy Spirit. Here's the Spirit leading Jesus somewhere. And he's leading him, listen to this, into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness in the scriptures is a funny place. The wilderness is where like nothing is going on. The wilderness is like barren. There's not exactly excitement. The wilderness is often described as boring and monotonous, mundane. But it is a place where people in scripture meet up with God.
So here's Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, led into the wilderness, going to meet up with the Father. And on his way there, something takes place. But I just wanted to share this with you. Moses was in the wilderness, and there he found himself being edified by God. You'll find Paul in the wilderness, in the school before he went into Jerusalem. Some 14 years he spent learning the dispensation or time period of grace. You will find David in the wilderness with his sheep when God ministers to him. And you and I need to see something here, that Jesus, by the Spirit, is taking him into a place where he can communicate with God. And he can talk and he can learn. Let me say this about Jesus that you don't realize right here. He is all God and he's all man. He's never been all God and all man before. He created man, yes. He designed man, yes. He gave man all of his attributes and characteristics, yes. But he himself had never felt what it was like to live in that body. He never knew what it was like to be under an attack. He never knew what it was like to be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you were being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, so there's something going to take place in the wilderness. These are all the physical things that Jesus did, and keep in mind that Jesus, before this time, never experienced the physical things. Hebrews tells us about that. And that's why he's such a great high priest, because he's experiencing things he never experienced before. And he's here in this place being led into the wilderness. Verse number 2 comes on and it says this, being tempted for 40 days. And I love this when we stop and think about Jesus. Here's the devil attacking Jesus. But he didn't just attack the Jesus once or twice like you and I get, or maybe for a day or two or three or four times in a day. Here's 40 days of being tempted. 41, 2, 3, 4, 10, 15, 20, 30, 33, 35, 40 days of pressure from demonic activities. Being tempted 40 days. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I think it's verse 16. I'm just going to throw out verses, and hopefully I have them. You ought to write them down. It says that Jesus was tempted in every area of his life, just like you and I can be tempted, and yet without sin. So here he was in this area for 40 days, and he's being tempted, and he made it through the temptation. And if Jesus can, you and I can too. That's the whole point of all this. But he understood things that we don't understand. Is anybody listening? Tempted 40 days. And I love these next three little words, by the devil. I love people who come up to me and they greet the back door. I just want you to know I don't believe in the devil. Well, that's convenient. Hope that makes you feel good. I mean, that's like, you know, stupidity on steroids. Because if you believe in the Bible, you better believe in the devil. I didn't write this, guys. Listen to what I'm going to say to you right now. This is interesting, because I want to say this to you. If I wrote the Bible, I'd get the royalties from the Bible. I'd share it with you. We'll all be rich. I didn't write this. And it says he's tempted 40 days by the what? Devil. And someone says, well, there's no real devil. I don't believe in it. Guess what? Because you don't believe him, doesn't make him go away. You're just stupid enough to let him beat you up and don't understand how to fend yourself or defend yourself. See? And then what happens is you end up losing. That's why so many people were here 5 years ago that aren't here today. Because they'd never learned how to become a mature Christian dealing with the devil and the pressures that he brings. Is anybody listening? He says, and in those days, 40 days, he ate nothing. Another time. A lot of times realize something about fasting. Fasting isn't just so that you can lose weight. I hate fasting. The part about fasting that's cool is it makes you sensitive to God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And it becomes sensitive because now you're not into your flesh as much as you are into your spirit. And so what we find ourselves as is realizing here after a 40-day fast, he sees something and he says, and afterwards they had ended. What had ended? Have you ever thought about reading that? It says, and he ate nothing. And afterwards, when it had ended, when what had ended? How about the pressure against him? No, it won't be that. When what ended? The 40 days. He was hungry. And all of a sudden, you'll see the devil now picks up something from Jesus that his desire was a hunger for something. It says he was hungry. Anybody ever been hungry? Four of you. Boy, let me try this side. Anybody ever? They're lying. Anybody ever been hungry? Come on. Yeah, we all have. And that desire for something is now picked up by the devil. And he's going to play on it like crazy. When you and I have a desire for something, we'll find ourselves that we open ourselves up to demonic activity, trying to use that desire to get us over into demonic activity. And he makes a statement. He says, in those days, he ate nothing and he was hungry. Verse number three. And this is where it starts to get really fascinating, I think. At least I felt that way. And the devil said, you know, I don't know. Sometimes we don't want to believe the devil talks to us. You know, because it comes in such different forms. It's not like a word, audibly that I'm speaking to you right now that you can, with your impulses of your hearing ability, understand what I'm saying. But it's just an impression. It's just something that takes you from where you should be to where he, listen to this, wants you to be. Someplace different than where God would have you to be. And if you've ever had a desire about something and then the desire got stronger, but you knew that desire was wrong, you knew that desire was not of God, and this desire kept mounting because the more you thought about it, you have just been spoken to by a spirit. And the devil said to him, and I love this, if. In these verses, there are three ifs in the verses. All three ifs give us insight into the attack against your life as well as Jesus. And if you understand them, he says these words. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. I have absolutely no problem with Jesus talking to a rock and it becoming a piece of bread. I believe he could. God says, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. So that means they can be rocks could become worship leaders. And I believe that Jesus could have done this. Why doesn't he just do it? Did you know that most of us would have fallen to this temptation of the flesh? This temptation against the flesh is described because he now said the word if. I'm challenging you who you are. Can I just say something? Do you think Jesus knows who Satan is? Do you think Jesus knows who the devil is? I mean, throughout time, they've known each other. Even back to the days of Job, when Jesus was with the Father, and you find that Job, in his life, before he had all the pressure put on him, the devil was there. And Jesus knows who he is, but yet he's coming along challenging the flesh of Jesus. Now listen to what I just said. First attack, write it down. The challenge to your flesh. He will challenge your flesh. How does he know to challenge the flesh? Because he knew Jesus was what? Hungry. There was a desire. There was something he felt. There was something he really wanted after 40 days, just like you would, because he's human, just like I would, because I'm human. I wanted to eat something. And wanting to eat something, all of a sudden, man, now, if I can get him to obey me, stop and think about it. The whole world changes. Is that not exactly what happened with Adam and Eve? Well, with Eve and then Adam. The serpent comes to her and says, wait a minute. You will be like gods. You won't be the way you are now. And he challenges her who she is and what God has told her. And he challenges her flesh. And she falls to it. And she does what? Obeys. And when she obeyed, she gave the authority to the devil. And when you obey the attack, then you give in the authority of your life to the devil. The Bible makes it very clear in Romans, the 5th chapter, that whoever you yield your members of your body to, you become the slave of that, whether to righteousness or not, or into demonic activity. And so you, whoever you yield. So here he is in verse number 3, make the bread. And Jesus responds, and he responds with this interesting answer. He says, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, he did something that we all need to understand. The first attack was a challenge against his flesh. This first challenge against his flesh was counteracted by the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you will submit yourself to what you feel and what you look like. Have you ever been in a place where something looks good, feels good, something obviously came along at the right time, and you think it's God, and man, it isn't God at all. Down the road, you find out it's horrible. Some of you married people like that. You thought, man, this is gonna be great. And all of a sudden, they're wonderful Christians when you marry them. And all of a sudden, man, I don't go to church. I don't want any part of that stuff. You go, what happened? You didn't listen to God. You listened to this, your flesh that said you wanted to do that. And so what happens, he says, and Jesus answered, saying these things, the word of God. Now, I want to make this statement. I said it earlier, but I want you to hear it. You will never do the will of God if you don't respect the word of God. So if I want to do the will of God, which is understand the attack and win over the attack, which is the will of God for my life, in your life, then I have to start off by respecting the word of God enough that the word of God becomes a part of me, so that when the attack comes, I, like Jesus, use the word of God. Because the first attack's going to be towards the things that I desire, my flesh. And if I obey the attack instead of resisting the attack, then I have now lost the battle. First, if you be the Son of God. Let's go on. In verse number 5, it says, then the devil, is there any doubt? Taken him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Verse number 6, and the devil said to him, all of this authority, and I love this, he didn't say all the authority, all of this authority. What you are looking at, I have control of. And he says, look for yourself. And in a moment's time, Jesus probably saw Satan's authority. He may have started even with the Roman Empire, and he says, look at the Roman Empire as they have trampled over innocent people, destroying them, and the fear they put into people and the destruction they put into people. Look at the Caesars that are there. They are all under my control. He may have taken them in a moment's period of time to another part of the world where Genghis Khan has just wiped out 100,000 innocent people to make himself known in the other part of the world. Or he may have taken them to one of the tribes of the Incas, or if you will, of the Aztecs, where we're martyring, slaughtering, and here's Satan, here's the devil saying, look at these authority that I have over them. I want you to see them. Here's the second attack. It's what comes when what you look at. What are you looking at? Do you remember Eve? The Bible says she saw that the fruit was good to eat. She saw what are you looking at? Oftentimes, you will look at stuff you shouldn't be looking at, which takes you to a place you shouldn't be having. And he makes the statement, he goes on, he says in verse number 7, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Verse number 7. Verse number 8. And Jesus answers, and it's a funny answer, because I want you to get this. Listen. Because when he answers, he says something different. Here's the devil says, worship before me and I'll give you all of this authority of the world. Man, you talk about the eye gate, the eyes coming along. He saw the power of all the different administrations around the world and the control they all had in a moment. How many men would have fallen for that? How about people like you know of, Napoleon, and how many hundreds of thousands of people were murdered? How about Hitler, who wanted the power of it? How about Idi Amin, who wanted, how about Mussolini? All over the history of the world, the power of these people that went in and trampled people down were satanically fallen because of Satan, because of the devil. And he says, I'll give you that kind of authority that you can control everything. And then Jesus answers. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. You're going to have to realize that you don't want him out in front of you, but you want him behind you. If he's out in front of you, you're in trouble. In other words, if he's the thing you see most, or the thoughts you feel most, or the feelings you have most, then he is out in front. But when he's behind, I'm not on him. I'm not thinking about him. I'm not seeing him. I'm not following him. Get behind me, Satan, he says these words. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. And then he says the funniest words. Didn't say a word about it to anybody else. And he says these words, you shall serve. When you worship, you are in service. And when you're in service, that is considered worship in the spiritual realm. Let me say it again. When you are in service to something, you are now worshiping that thing. And that's why he made this statement that came so clear. I will not worship anybody but God, and I will not serve you. Because, listen to this, service, when you serve something, his demands, his requests, his feelings, his ideas, his philosophy, his expression, then all of a sudden, in the service of him, you become a worshiper of him. That's exactly what mankind did, is when they followed Satan. Guess what happens? Followed the devil in that garden. Guess what happened? You'll find that there was worship. And it wasn't the kind of worship that you know of raising your hands or singing a song or praising his name like we understand worship. Worship biblically is whatever you serve. If I serve God with all my heart, that's the greatest worship I have. If I serve the Lord, even though it costs me something, the greatest form of worship there is sacrificial obedience. And if I'm obedient to Satan, then I have just worshiped him. And that's what happened, if you will, with Adam and Eve. And you see it again, trying the same thing. Let me tell you something. He only has a certain amount of understanding of the tax. He's not creative to develop anything new. And what he did in the garden, what he did with Jesus, he's doing with you. You just have to figure it out. It's so simple. So verse number 9 comes along and he makes a statement. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him. First of all, let me give you the second if. Did you catch that if, by the way? Back up there in the second if. The devil said, if you will worship me. Where is that? Where is that? In verse 6, is it? In verse number 7. In verse number 7, therefore, if you will worship me. There's the second if. Here's the third if. First if was the flesh and the desires. The second if is, look what you're seeing. You can have it. The third if is completely different. And he comes along in verse number 9 and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in his hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here's the third if, is authority challenging, listen to these things, very much challenging his authority. And that's where you and I have got to resist in these challenges. Because if you don't, then you end up worshiping him with your lifestyle instead of with God. Is anybody listening? So fascinating, because we see this oftentimes over and over, where we find the challenge that pride comes in these situations. He's challenging me who I am. He says, if it is, and I like that word, if you are, you find that word if is such a big word in the Bible. And he makes a statement, if, he's just challenging his authority, challenging who he is, challenging his flesh, challenging his what his eyes are seeing. And my friends, let me just say it like this. Notice Jesus's response to all of it. He says this, it has been said that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I thought that was all interesting until I got to verse 13. In verse number 13, it says something so profound, you need to see it. Let's put it up on the overhead. In verse 13, he says, now then, the devil had ended, next word, what is it? Every temptation. Three temptations. Temptation of the flesh, temptation of your eyes and what you have your eyes set on that you'll follow, and then the temptation of your authority, of who you are, pride. That means pride. Three areas of your life that he's going to put pressure on you to get you to act the way he wants you to act. And the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him. And I love this next part of the verse. Notice what it says, and he'll never come back again. Does your Bible say that? I thought it was fascinating. Listen to what it says. It says, until an opportune time. In other words, this guy is not giving up on you. And you want to know why there's problems? The problems are that you can get through these problems by hanging on to Jesus, every word that he says. By standing strong in the things of God, not listening to your flesh, not listening to what your eyes are set on, not listening to your pride. Like, who are you? Prove who you are. I find that the attacks on who you are horrible. Because it's always the things that are most important to me that I, my life as a pastor, I've been attacked in. Integrity. generosity. Always the things that are the most important in your life that identify your character, nature, and attribute, those are the things that will be attacked. Isn't that interesting? And that's exactly what took place with Jesus. Now, the devil had ended every temptation. You saw all three of them. He departed from him until another time. He doesn't give up. Real quick, I just want to show you something. That's in the book of Luke, 1 John 2nd chapter, starting in verse 15. Now, with that in mind, listen to this. Is that okay? Let's just pop it up on the overhead. Verse number 15 says, do not love the world. Here's how this all works. I can be in the world, but I'm not of the world. I can enjoy the stuff of the world, but the stuff doesn't have me. Is anybody listening to me? I mean, I love nice things, but if I don't have nice things, I don't give a flip. I got Jesus, and there's ain't nothing nicer than Jesus. So he comes along and says, he didn't say don't have the world, don't have the things, don't have an abundance, don't have a nice house, don't have a nice car, don't have nice clothes. I mean, you can tell how old I am by my pants. Someone said to me the other day, Pastor, where do you get those baggy pants? Where do you buy them? You can't even buy them nowadays. I said, well, you have to go back to 1980. I said, I bought these in 1982. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding at all. I mean, when you ever been around old people, they don't care what they wear. Debbie says, are you going outside now? Yes. She says, don't you think you ought to at least comb your hair? And you still have your pajamas on. Well, who cares, Debbie? So here it is. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, in other words, they're hung up on the stuff of the world. As a Christian, you can have the things of the world, but the things of the world can't have you. It's that simple. And he says this, if the love of the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. You're too involved in the material stuff. But verse 14 comes, 16, sorry, that comes along is really fascinating, what we're talking about tonight. For all that is in the world, watch this, three attacks, three ifs. The lust of the flesh was if number one, and the attack with Jesus. The lust of the eyes, I'll show you all the kingdoms, and all the power and authority is yours. And that's the third if. Pride of life. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Three areas that you need to, and I do too, watch yourselves every day. Because if, listen to this, Jesus won the battle, which means you and I can win the battle also. Come on, somebody. If God spoke to you, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that? Understanding the attack. You ought to write all that down. You ought to listen to it again. You ought to make notes about it. You ought to think about it in your own life personally and then come up with answers spiritually. So every time he tries to use something, whether it's if number one or if two or if three, guess what? You have an answer for him right off the bat. That's called maturity. Did anybody get anything from tonight's message? Come on. Would you do that? Would you give the Lord a praise? Not me, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.